Today's scripture is one I'm willing to bet most of you have heard before, and it is always a beautiful and a great reminder. It's from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 13, and this version is from The Message by Eugene Peterson. If I speak with human eloquence and angelic ecstasy, but don't love, I am nothing but the creaking of a rusty gate. If I speak God's word with power, revealing all God's mysteries, and making everything plain as day, and if I have faith that says to a mountain, jump, and if it jumps, but if I don't love, I am nothing. If I give everything I own to the poor, and even go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but I don't love, I've gotten nowhere. So no matter what I say, what I believe, and what I do, I am bankrupt without love. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut. Love doesn't have a swelled head, doesn't force itself on others. It isn't always me first. Love doesn't fly off the handle, doesn't keep score of the sins of others, doesn't revel when others grovel. Love doesn't take pleasure in the flowering of truth, puts up with anything, trusts God always, always looks for the best, never looks back, but keeps going to the end. Love never dies. Inspired speech will be over someday. Praying in tongues will end. Understanding will reach its limit. We know only a portion of the truth, and what we say about God is always incomplete. But when the complete arrives, our incompletes will be canceled. When I was an infant, I gurgled and cooed like any infant. When I grew up, I left those infant ways for good. We don't yet see things clearly. We are squinting in a fog, peering through a mist. But it won't be long before the weather clears and the sun shines bright. We see it all then, and we see it as clearly as God sees us. Knowing God directly, just as God knows us. But for right now, until that completeness, we have three things to do to lead us to that day. Trust steadily in God, hope unswervingly, and love extravagantly. And the best of these three is love. This is God's word for God's people. God is still speaking.
It takes more strength to love than to hate. It takes more strength to love than to hate. I am learning even more now in these days that it takes more strength to love than to hate. In perhaps the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s most famous book, the collection of sermons entitled The Strength to Love, published in 1963, King included a sermon titled Loving Your Enemies, which he first delivered on Christmas Day, 1957, at Dexter Avenue Baptist Church in Montgomery, Alabama. In that sermon, King wrote and preached, quote, "Returning hate for hate multiplies hate, adding deeper darkness to a night already devoid of stars. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. Hate multiplies hate. Violence multiplies violence. And toughness multiplies toughness in a descending spiral of destruction. So when Jesus says, love your enemies, he is setting forth a profound and ultimately inescapable admonition. Have we not come to such an impasse in the modern world that we must love our enemies or else? The chain reaction of evil, hate begetting hate, wars producing wars, must be broken, or we shall be plunged into the dark abyss of annihilation. End quote. The Apostle Paul's well-loved, oft-quoted 1 Corinthians 13 is one of the most recognizable scriptures in our entire Bible, a scripture many of us know by heart, and a frequent, excellent choice for memorial services and weddings. Yet as beautiful and appropriate as 1 Corinthians 13 can be for a funeral or a wedding, and even as a touchstone for one of the most important covenantal relationships of human life, here's this morning's Remember This moment. Paul wrote these words for the early church in Corinth. Not for a couple about to be wed, not even for a couple celebrating a silver or golden anniversary, but for a community of believers, a community of Jesus followers who, to be honest, were behaving quite badly. Paul's letter to the church in Corinth was a missive to a part of the early church located in a large, prosperous urban center in Greece that was organized into several house churches and regularly gathered together as an ecclesia or a larger assembly or church. The section of the letter leading up to the scripture that Steve read for us today, which is sometimes called the love chapter, the section leading up to it includes a discussion of the many different spiritual gifts that the people in that first century church in Corinth had, and how each of those gifts was of equal value, as were each of the people blessed with those gifts. And all those gifts and all those people are necessary, indeed essential, in making up the fullness of the body of Christ. Yes, Paul wrote, there are many members but one body. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. All that clarification and explication about the power and richness and necessity of a diversity of gifts in the one body of Christ we call church is the prelude for what we now know as the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. And the last sentence in the last verse in the 12th chapter reads, "And I will show you a still more excellent way." Even with the remarkable and extravagant offering of spiritual gifts present in any one church, or the whole church, or expression of the body of Christ, then or now, Paul claims there is still a more excellent way. And that more excellent way is love. Only love can do that. Not love of a primary partner or spouse, not love of our own child or children, not love of our parents or siblings or anyone else we happen to be related to. Not even love of ourselves, except as a means for us to understand the depth of the love that we are called in Christ to have for our neighbor. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. It's important for us to consider that the Greek language, the original language of our New Testament, includes four different words that we translate into one English word, love. And while the semantic range for all four Greek words is expansive, the different words are used to connote different meanings in the Greek, while in English, we typically use the one word, love. Eros refers to sexual love and probably derived its name from the Greek god of love. Storge is the type of love signifying the natural affection between kin, parents and children, siblings, extended family. Philia is a Greek word for love that signifies spontaneous natural affection with more feeling than reason, to be a friend, to be fond of, or to have affection for, or attachment to an individual, or even an object, a matter of sentiment or feeling, as in Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. Philadelphia is also a biblical city, by the way. Agape the fourth kind, is the Greek word for love that by far appears most frequently in our New Testament and throughout the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. This Greek word for love means moral goodwill, which proceeds from esteem, principle, or duty, rather than attraction or charm. Agape means to love the undeserving, despite disappointment and rejection. And this is the Greek word that the King James Version of the Bible translated as charity, a word that far too often gets reduced to benevolent feelings or donations to aid people who are poor, ill, or needy. And even as important as charity in that sense may be, agape love, wrote Paul, involves faithfulness, commitment, and an act of the will. This unconditional love is the love God has for us that was embodied or incarnated in Jesus of Nazareth, whom we know as the Christ. And it is the love we are called to have for one another. This is not love rooted in good feelings toward one another. It is love that originates in a conscious, deliberate choice, an act of will, to recognize every other human being as a gift of God. Every other human being as a gift of God. Only love can do that. If God is love, and as Cornel West says, justice is what love looks like in public, then the human encounter, your encounter, my encounter, with the face of the God of love and the face of our neighbors, our friends, and our enemies, is a struggle to see one another, to love one another, to hear one another, to love one another, to be with one another, to love one another, to kneel alongside one another in witness, in prayer, in solidarity, in struggle, and in hope. And I know only love can do that in and with us. For every single one of us knows that this kind of love, agape, is a whole lot easier to talk about than it is to do. That's part of the reason why we will include prayers of confession within our weekly worship. This is why we need strength to love. Those first century Corinthian followers of Jesus knew this too, and their behavior and misbehavior proved it. One way we can tell this is that Paul chose to spell out in his letter what this kind of love looks like in action. And I think Eugene Peterson's translation of those words from Paul, as he translated them directly from the Greek in the Message, really gives us a fresh feel for it. Love doesn't strut, doesn't want what it doesn't have a swelled head. Love doesn't force itself on others. It isn't always me first. How does this sound right now, right? In the context of all that is swirling around us. Love doesn't fly off the handle. It doesn't keep score of the sins of others. It doesn't revel when others grovel. Love takes pleasure in the flowering of truth and puts up with anything. Thank God love puts up with anything. I need a lot more love these days. Love always looks for the best, never looks back, but keeps on going to the end. You and I are not called to follow Jesus so we can feel good, or be more popular, or get an express ticket into heaven, or stay out of trouble, or grab power, or become better than everyone else. We are called to, and then choose to, follow Jesus to love others as God loves us. We love because God first loved us. We choose to love our neighbors unconditionally. Please note that Paul did not say we will necessarily like our neighbors. But we choose to love our neighbors unconditionally. And we make the choice and the commitment to do so because this is what we are called. And yes, even as Congregationalists, we are commanded to do. One of the scribes came near and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that Jesus answered them well, asked Jesus, "Which commandment is the first of all?" And Jesus answered, "The first is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.'" So we gather to learn how to love each other and to learn that our love for each other is not just in these four walls or in the walls of Johnson Hall or in the walls of even whatever we imagine our church to be, but to love one another is to teach and learn and remind and challenge and equip and encourage and walk with each other and our neighbors, all of our neighbors, in this more excellent way, the way of love. Love that is action and not feeling. Love that is patient and kind. Love that is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. Love that teaches us as much or possibly even more about ourselves than it may about those we are commanded to love. It is love that animates our faith, love that expresses and generates our hope, love that drives out hate, even in our own hearts, love that demonstrates true toughness as gentleness, love that dares to speak truth to power, love that points to the God who is love, not at the one who thinks they are God. Love is the greatest spiritual gift of all. And to love in this way, unconditionally, giving fully of ourselves, without expectation of anything, anything at all in return, simply to love as we are loved by God, is the more excellent way. And only love can do that. And oh, do we need strength to love that way. But what's this kind of love, this agape love, got to do with being Christian, a follower of Jesus? Everything. Absolutely everything. So, beloved, let us love one another, even when it's hard. Let us put others first, even when we don't understand them. Let us dare to speak truth to power in love when we believe power is not speaking in love. May we be there for each other to lean on in love as we continue to find our way, not only through being church together, but through being in community together, our wider community, our nation, and our world, so that we might indeed be bearers of God's love, knowing that in a time of hate, love is an act of resistance. In a time of fear, faith is an act of resistance. In a time of misinformation, education is an act of resistance. In a time of poor leadership, community is an act of resistance. In a time like this, joy is an act of resistance. Those words of the author and children's illustrator, Lauren Brantz, speak to the heart of the love we are called to embody and that our God calls us and even commands us to share with one another. And so we pray, O God, that we might make it so. Amen.